am not ashamed of the gospel, and neither should you be. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Rabbi Paul writes, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. What great words, what good news for mankind. Jesus, Yeshua, the promised Messiah, is reconciling men and women from every nation, every tribe, every language to himself through Jesus the Messiah. What great news that is. And of course, that lets you know that you've tuned in to another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. This a lovely, sunny Thursday edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're coming to you live today from the studios of WLQV and also live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And this program is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. We really welcome you to go there and have at some of our great articles there. And today we are going to continue in a discussion that we've been having, Rabbi Lauren and I, with you, our beloved listeners, about the importance of the doctrine of the triune nature of God. So, Rabbi Lauren, let's talk a little bit about where we've been and where we're headed today.
I'd love to, Rabbi Glenn. Let's just start off by saying that triune, maybe people don't understand something, you know, as basic as that. Tri means three, une means one. So when we talk about the triune nature of God, we're talking about the fact that God is three and somehow mysteriously at the same time one. And you and I have been talking with Pastor Dan Lewis from Troy Christian Chapel for the past 3 days about the error primarily in the oneness groups, the United Pentecostals, who believe that God is only one person. At some point he is, you know, points he's the Father when he does certain things. At some points he's the Son when he does other things. At another point he's the Holy Spirit when he's involved in other activity. But God is not three persons. He's three modes, and sometimes we call this modalism, or three manifestations. But the Word of God is clear, Rabbi Glenn, that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, is not a mode. He's a person with mind, emotion, and will, distinct from the Father. The Father's not a mode or a manifestation. He is a person with mind, emotion, and will. The Holy Spirit is not a mode or manifestation or an impersonal force. He is a person, although without a body, yet with mind, emotion, and will. And in the Metro Detroit area, there's over 200 of these oneness groups, these United Pentecostals that deny the three in oneness of God. But this also affects other groups as well. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny the Trinity, the three in oneness of God. The Mormons deny the Trinity. And this is very serious error.
And it's your contention and mine, Rabbi Lauren, that error begets error, and errors concerning the nature of the Godhead inevitably lead to errors in other areas of life and in ministry. And, you know, especially as leaders, pastors, messianic rabbis, we cannot afford to be teaching our people error, because we are responsible for the well-being of their souls. We will give an answer to the great shepherd and who is definitely God the Son, Messiah Yeshua. We are going to have to give an answer. And having a misunderstanding of the nature of the Godhead is going to impact people in a really destructive way.
It will, Rabbi Glenn. The doctrine of the Trinity is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith and the Bible. This doctrine separates truth from error, orthodoxy from heresy. It's crucial to know who God really is. If we would have real spiritual power in our life and experience God's blessings and have eternal life, we must come to know God as he is and become loyal to God. We must think of God as he is, not as we think he is.
And of course, the source for understanding God as he is his self-revelation, which we call the Bible. So if we're going to have a right understanding of who God is and his nature, we're not to look to the opinions of men, we're to look to the Word of God.
And the Word of God makes it clear that God is three and yet one. His nature is one of plurality in singleness, Trinity in unity, three in oneness. And since God has revealed his unique three-in-one nature in the Bible, it is essential that we accept the biblical teaching on the three-in-oneness of God or suffer the most dire consequences. So let's today focus on what we call the Jewishness of the Trinity. That's right, the Jewishness of the Trinity.
Now, you heard it right here, folks. You heard it right here.
Rabbi Glenn, most people, you know, think that Jewishness and Trinity have nothing in common, but that is not true. This teaching on the three-in-oneness of God began in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Jewish Bible. And what I'd like us to do today is go through some of this beginning teaching on the three-in-oneness of God found in the Tanakh, you know, the Hebrew Old Testament, the Torah, the five books of Moses.
Well, let's start right there at the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1:1, the third word, the third word of the Hebrew Scriptures in the beginning, Elohim, God. And Elohim comes from a root that means strength, might, or power. And Elohim, of course, is the most common word for God. It's used over 2,300 times in the scripture. But folks, Elohim is plural. That I am ending is a masculine plural ending. And so literally, it could be translated, and in certain contexts is, as gods. For example, Exodus 12:12 refers to all the Elohim, the gods of Egypt. Now, Eloah is the singular form of Elohim, but it's used far less frequently, only 250 times. This plural name that's applied to the one God is a hint of the plural yet singular nature of God that's more fully revealed as we go through the rest of the scriptures.
So, Rabbi Glenn, you're absolutely right. The Jewish Bible, the third word, Elohim, is a plural title for God, Elohim, a plural title. Now, along with a plural title in the Jewish Bible, there are plural verbs. Normally, the plural title Elohim is followed by a singular verb, but there are several fascinating instances in the Hebrew Scriptures when Elohim, God, is accompanied by a plural verb. And let me give you one. Genesis 20. Verse 13 literally says in Hebrew that Elohim, God, then it's followed by a plural verb. They caused me to wander. Abraham is speaking. He's saying that God, Elohim, plural, they, a plural verb, caused me to wander from my father's house. So here we have Elohim, this plural title, followed by a plural verb.
That's fascinating, Rabbi Lauren, because, of course, you know, the scriptures have come to us as they were given. We have a text that's reliable, and it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so it is not an error when you have the singular, where you have God, and clearly the context is God, the God of Israel, but yet this plural verb, they caused me to wander. So this is not an error, and you can see how perhaps a scribe might have been tempted to want to put the verb in singular just to harmonize those things. And yet this is how the Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures to be written. And so the scribes, thanks be to God, were faithful not to change the text. And yet here we are with these really enigmatic passages.
And here's another one, Rabbi Glenn, Genesis 35, verse 7. This is Jacob speaking, and he says that Elohim, which is, again, a plural title for God, Elohim, followed by a plural verb again, they appeared to him. So again, Elohim plural, they plural appeared. Mm. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23, another one. What nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God, Elohim, this common plural title for God, whom Elohim, they went to redeem for himself, a plural verb. They went to redeem.
That's so fascinating again, also, because you have Elohim, speaking of the God of Israel, they went, as though plural, to redeem for himself, reverts back to the singular.
I believe himself is singular again.
Wow.
So again, we have this fascinating grammatical mixture in the Bible between plural titles, singular verbs, but sometimes plural verbs. One more, just to show you that this is not just a mistake in one part. Psalm 58, verse 11, declares that surely there is a God, they, referring to God, the God of Israel, but it's a plural, they judge the earth.
That's stunning, Rabbi Lauren, but and it isn't only plural verbs. There are pronouns as well. One that comes to mind, and you and I have taught on this many times, right there in Genesis chapter 1, in the midst of creation, the Lord God speaking there in Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now, again, you know, for our listeners, we are not suggesting tritheism. We are not saying that there's more than one God. Yet God speaks at times in this plural fashion, these verbs that sometimes are a plural yet ascribed to the one God. And so it's fascinating that within the inspired Hebrew scriptures, there are these hints.
Exactly. Again, the title or name Elohim, God, which is the most commonly used title or name for God. There is a singular form, Eloah, but Elohim is a plural. So we have a plural title, we have plural verbs, and now we're talking about plural pronouns. Pronouns are things that are used in place of nouns, like we and us and they. So Genesis 1:26, let us, this is God speaking, make man in our image according to our likeness. Now God, Moses continues with the next verse saying that man was made in the image of God. This can't be referring to the angels. You know, we're not made in the image of the angels. Moses specifies that we are made in the image of God. So God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, plural pronouns.
Hard to get around that. But continue on, Rabbi Lauren, because there are also several intriguing occurrences of the use of plural nouns to refer to the one God.
Well, actually, Rabbi Glenn, I'd like to continue with a couple more plural pronouns.
Ah,
because, again, this is not just a one-time, you know, anomaly. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, a plural pronoun, knowing good and evil. So, again, we have Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Genesis 3:22, the Lord God said, the man has become like one of us. Genesis 11:7, and following, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they're one people. They all have the same language. This is what they begin to do. Verse 7, come, let us, again, a plural pronoun, let us go down and there confuse their language. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from over there. It's all the Lord speaking to himself, and he uses the plural pronoun again. Let us go down. And finally, Rabbi Glenn, another powerful example of these plural pronouns, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, singular, and who will go for us, plural. Singular pronoun referring to God, plural pronoun again referring to God.
That's just amazing. And because it's not just one or two instances, but there are these frequent instances of these things, both verbs and pronouns, and we're about shortly to talk about also plural nouns. And I suppose, Rabbi Lauren, it's worth pointing out that we're not suggesting that these things in and of themselves somehow prove the doctrine of the Trinity, but what it does is it contributes to the overall biblical argument why really God is one yet also three. It may be a tension, but it's a tension that the scriptures themselves have given us.
That's true, Rabbi Glenn. These are divine hints found in the Jewish Bible, in the Torah, the five books of Moses, where we see the singular yet plural, these singular yet plural hints of God's nature already being revealed, starting in Genesis 1.
Well, let's talk about some of those nouns, Rabbi Lauren.
There's several intriguing occurrences where plural nouns refer to the one God. We've talked about the plural title Elohim, which is sometimes accompanied by plural verbs and plural pronouns, let us make man in our image. Now we have some examples of plural nouns referring to the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 19, Joshua said to the Jewish people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God." That's English, but if you look at it in the Hebrew, it literally says, "For he is holy, plural, God's plural."
Wow. And of course, there's also a passage, it may be somewhat obscure to some of our listeners, but some of you remember this, Ecclesiastes 12:1, this exhortation, "Remember your creator in the days of your youth," but literally it's creators. And of course, you know, the Bible is very clear. It was one God and only one who created us, yet it says literally, "Remember your creators in the day of your youth."
Plural, creators. Another one, Psalm 149, verse 2, "Let Israel rejoice in his maker." But literally in Hebrew, it's makers, plural. "Let Israel rejoice in his makers." Israel only has one maker, Rabbi Glenn, that's God. But again, a plural noun is being used to describe the one God. Singular, yet plural.
So all of these things are hints to us in the inspired word of God that God is one, yet somehow there is more to this, that there's a complexity. Here's another one, Isaiah 54:5, "For your maker is your husband." But literally, the Hebrew there reads, "For your makers is your husbands." That's how it's actually there literally in the text. So we've got these plural nouns.
And two of them together in one verse in Isaiah 54, verse 5, "Your makers is your husbands." But it's only referring to the one God, but he's described in a plural way.
Now, these are grammatical constructions that lend some light on this the development of this biblical teaching on the triune nature of God. But there are actually some plural descriptions in the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures, of the three-in-one God. Could you share some of those with us?
Yes. In Psalm 110, verse 1, King David writes, "The Lord, Adonai, says to my Lord," a slightly different form of Adon, "sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." So we have Adonai, the Lord, speaking to one who is David's Lord, which becomes Messiah himself quotes this in the New Testament and says this again hints at his that he's fully man, but he's also fully God. He shares the nature of God. So a plural description. You have Adonai saying to David's Adon, who is also divine.
It's really remarkable. There's another famous one, Psalm 45, 6 and 7. which the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 cites. Psalm 45, 6 and 7 records this: "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your fellows." So this one who has been anointed is called God, and also it speaks of, therefore, God, your God. So the one being spoken to is called God, and yet the one who's being spoken to has a God. And yet the scriptures are very clear, there is only one God. And so, you know, and as we said, the inspired author of the letter to the Messianic Jews, Hebrews, applies this passage to Messiah, showing that Yeshua is God, and yet also that his Father is God.
In Isaiah 48, one speaks who calls himself the first and the last, and the one who founded the earth. Well, that's God, Rabbi Glenn. And then God goes on to say that from the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Well, this is fascinating. God, the Creator, who is speaking, claims to have been sent by the Lord God and God's Spirit.
There
so
it
we
is.
Have the Lord, so we have the Lord God sending God, who founded the earth, who was the first and the last, and the Spirit of God. Well, what does that sound like, Rabbi Glenn?
It sounds to me like Hashilush HaKadosh, the Holy Trinity. and now the Lord God has sent me the Hebrew for sending is shalach, and we call the one who is sent shaliach. So the Mashiach, the Messiah, is a shaliach, a sent one. So now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. The one who's identified there as me, the one who's speaking, says that he was there from the very first, from ancient times. So who but God was there before the creation? No one. And yet, here's someone described as God being sent by God, and then also his Spirit. Seems to me we've got a beautiful foreshadowing of the later, clearer teaching of the Trinity right there in Isaiah, 700 years before Yeshua came.
Exactly, Rabbi Glenn. So again, we are building a theological case for the three-in-oneness of God. From the Jewish Bible, starting from the Torah, the five books of Moses, continuing on into the Tanakh, we've talked about a plural title for God, Elohim, sometimes accompanied by plural verbs, sometimes with a plural pronoun, us and we. And now we've got these plural descriptions of God. And there's actually a few more, which we won't have time to get to today, but Lord willing, we can get to tomorrow. So for those of you who are caught up in false understanding about the three-in-oneness of God, and I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm talking about Mormons, I'm talking about United Pentecostals. Friends, you need to get with the biblical program on this really crucial issue.
And furthermore, based on the material we're presenting, if any of you really thought that somehow you have a more authentically Jewish version of the gospel by denying the Trinity, you couldn't be more mistaken. The triune nature of God is taught through the Jewish scriptures as well as in the New Covenant. Well, we're just about out of time, but Rabbi Lorne and I wanted to invite you, our precious Jesus Made Me Kosher listeners, to join us for Passover. It's such a special holiday, and especially for those of us who love and know that Yeshua the Messiah is our Passover lamb. There's just no more joyful thing to do than celebrate Passover. We're going to be having two Passover Seders. It's a full dinner and it's open to the public, but you do need to make a reservation. The dates are April 6th and April 7th. It's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $25 for adults and $12 for children 12 and under. The real little ones shouldn't come. It's a long evening and the very young children probably couldn't handle that. But if you'd like to join us for Passover, you can send send a check to Shema. You can use our P.O. box, so get your pen ready and paper, because that'll be announced in just a couple of seconds. But we would be delighted to have you join us for Passover. Give us a call and join us for this great holiday. So on behalf of everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, Rabbi Lauren and I want to say Shalom, Shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.